Skype of Cthulhu presents Delta Green Viscid.
Because I have no idea, but there's a bunch of scientists who are buying machine guns and coming out into the woods for some unknown reason, and I don't understand it at all. My understanding is that there is a belief that there is one creature that has grown from parts and grown and grown and gotten larger and having left ground zero, and that half of our large crew is going hunting. And by going hunting, I mean that they're reading the newspaper and trying to find out where strange deaths are occurring. And two others of the group, at least, although possibly more, are coming out by airplane to go to the crash site, which we were supposed to investigate on day one, apparently. And are bringing heavy weapons that they don't know how to use, and are meeting Carlos, who has been driving there more or less nonstop for 4 days. And I think at the same time, Anne is hanging out in D.C. in case there's some more investigating that needs happening out there, in case we discover that the money trail is more important than the biological trail. Is that good enough for you?
Yeah, there was a bit of a battle with a death spider as well, but
yeah, and don't
talk about that's long. Yeah, so we've seen the we have seen what the things could be like. I guess.
Don't I remember something about a flamethrower?
Yes. I believe Marco had acquired a flamethrower. Not that he knows, because he doesn't have that written on his character sheet. But
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he doesn't even have his name anymore. He had a bout of amnesia. Apparently. Where am I? Who am I? What do I have with me?
Flamethrower. That's what I have with me.
Yes.
That's all you have, just a flamethrower. That's great. I like it.
Okay. Yes, so, Anne. Last session, this group decided that you had just stayed in DC. If you feel there's things you want to do in DC, then we can have that be the case. Or I'm perfectly willing to retcon to say you traveled, got on a plane and traveled west, but that's up to you.
Yeah, I thought I had taken the stuff from the offices. I was going to pour through it and see if anything looked interesting. And if not, I was then going to get on the next plane. So
yeah.
I suppose I need to do some sort of roll to see if I find anything interesting in this paperwork.
So you're specifically looking for things you don't already know.
Right. I'm trying to find some connection between... Oh, and I was also going to do... I took a picture of that... of the three guys fishing, right? Try to do some sort of find, I don't know who, some sort of way of trying to figure out who these people were. I think one of them was the lawyer.
So there was a photo, the large photo in Silverman's office was a younger Silverman standing next to a thin, well-dressed man in his 60s. And they're standing in front of a large corporate headquarters sign that reads March Technologies.
Right. So I was going to look into that and try to figure out if I could figure out who those people were.
Okay. How are you going to do that?
I'm going to Google search the out of it.
You're Google searching.
I mean, I'm computer. I'm doing a computer
search. Searches. Yeah.
So internet search on March Technologies or... You trying to do some kind of reverse image search? I mean, I'm just wondering how.
Well, I don't have any ability to find out the image search. So I think what I would do is do a search on March Technologies and then click on the image thing and see if anybody who's associated when you bring up March Technologies looks like either the other two guys in the photo to try to get a name for the face. And then if that doesn't work, I'm going to look at March Technologies, look at their about page, see if they've got they list people who are in charge of the organization, and when they list somebody, if there's a photo there, great. If not, I'll look up their name in a Google search. I mean, I'm just going to spend some time trying to sort of poke around. I'm not, if they're super, I don't know anything about them. If they're a publicly traded company, I feel like I should be able to find something. If they're a super secret organization that, you know, is developing, you know, horrible death spiders, then I won't find anything. So I guess the way I would look at this.
Sure. Okay. So it's fairly easy to find the March Technologies corporate website. It is low on detail. It's a pretty insubstantial website. It seems to mainly imply that they deal in computers and flight navigation systems. You can look up its board of directors. They're mostly, it's like a long list of retired generals and admirals, couple of aerospace tech execs. Interestingly, none of these people have any kind of public profile. They seem to be all incredibly private people.
And any executive officers or the executive officers on the board? Who's the president of March Technologies? Can I find that out? Or
sure, I believe you can. Why don't you, for this, make some kind of roll, just to see how well this goes for you.
I rolled a 26, which would be a hard success in computer science, would be a hard success in HUMIT, a hard success in Dodge, but I don't think that matters. I mean,
Not yet.
Ooh, it would be a regular success in search, but I don't think that's the same kind of search. We don't have library use.
That'd be computer use.
Well, then that's a hard success.
Yeah. Okay. So you see that Dr. Anthony Corello is the current chief executive officer. There is a Dr. Edward Penn, who's listed as another sort of what's the word?
Financial officer, executive, principal,
chairman of the board. Sorry,
that's
the thing I'm looking for. And there's then a couple of other retired generals. General Thomas Dierhausen, General Curtis Schenck are sort of senior advisors on the board.
Okay, so does, and I honestly don't know this as a player or a character, hopefully my character does, even if the player doesn't. Does Delta Green have some sort of database or someplace you could go to sort of look things up? Or is it all, you know, you talk to somebody and ask them?
So the program uses the resources of other federal agencies mainly. So it's what I guess the answer is you don't really know. If there is such a thing, you don't have access to that. What you do have access to are other you know, classified databases, and especially with your sort of history and computer usability, and some of the other operations that you've worked on, you have access to.
Right. So what I would then do is do, you know, the same sort of search, but probably now on a deep web type basis.
Sure.
These two names.
Sure. Okay.
That's going to take some time if you want to.
Yeah, but your phone rings.
I pick it up.
It's your handler.
Yes, he's not happy, I bet. Yes. What can I do for you?
Miss Crane, what are you doing in D.C.?
We are following up on the leads on the case you put us on.
I think your current set of leads that you are looking into will not be relevant for this investigation. I would advise you rejoin your colleagues in the Northwest.
Oh, but this could tell us, you know, how this all got started. I would think that in order to really contain it, we need not just to deal with the individual incident, but
Much Technologies is not a target of this investigation.
I'm sorry, how do you know I'm looking into March Technologies? Are you scanning my computer?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, well, then I will stop that and get on the next flight back to join the team.
Excellent.
After stopping by Best Buy to get a new computer.
Inside head voice.
And yeah, he hangs up.
Okay. Well, I am still a junior person within this organization, and yeah, but I am absolutely going to swing by and get a at the airport, one of those technology stores, get a little iPad or
from the computer. from the Best Buy vending machine.
Exactly. Oh, no, because exactly. I would have my credit card, and I bet they're tracking that too. I'm going to have to go into it.
Yeah,
so I'm going to definitely swing by a store and get something that I can do some searching on. And then before I, as I'm making my
so
way.
So you, involved, sorry, I would just say, you have, yeah, your computer use is, what is it? It's off the charts, isn't it? It's 73.
73,
yeah, okay. This is a machine that, you know, this is your own personal machine. You bought, you installed the operating system on, you have pretty good knowledge of operational security. Now, it's potentially feasible that they have something on the computer that is monitoring you, but you realize you didn't. It was only when you started using government databases.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm sure. I'm sure that she is smart enough to know,
yeah,
in a way that I am not, that how they were able to do that. But I am. I can only play with what knowledge my little brain has. So I'm gonna assume that going to Best Buy is a good idea. No, I mean, yes, but I'm guessing too that they were able to trace. If there's some sort of tracer in there, like I enter a database and they have, you know, whatever dark web way they have of tracing it back, they can get to a computer and say, like, oh, this is her emails.
They have so, that yeah,
so identifying it's me. So if I get a computer that has none of my personal information on it, yeah, it feels like tracing that back is going to lead them to an empty room.
Obviously, you have your own official government logons and VPNs that would come back to you, but you also have access to other databases using credentials that do not have a direct link to you. However, they were acquired in previous operations. And so it just sort of, you get the feeling that these accounts that you thought didn't lead back to you somehow do, or yeah.
So one of the intents though is to go onto the Deke web and see if I can find other, you know, on servers and whatnot, if I can buy other accounts.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's obviously going to take some time. I'm going to use the Wi-Fi on the plane. But before I do any of that, I'm calling Michael to find out where I should go to, because I've been gone for 48 hours and maybe they've done something different.
You also imagine that they can locate your cell phone. And yeah, they were able to piece things together that way. But otherwise, you're heading to the airport and getting on a plane back to Seattle?
Well, no, I'm calling Michael to ask.
Sure. Okay, go for it. Da-ling.
Yes.
Hey, Michael, this is Anne. I've been told by our friend that I should stop being in D.C. and head to rejoin the team. Where are you all? Are you still in Seattle?
That's not terribly surprising. They did tell us to keep our noses out of the DOD side.
Yeah, well.
Out of game, that was this scenario, right? Kind of very early on, we had made some inquiries about the research project and were immediately shut down by our handler saying, none of your business. So, okay.
Correct.
Yep, doubly suspicious. Why don't you go meet Peter, Marco, and Carlos in, for some reason the notes said North Dakota, that's wrong, in Idaho?
Oh,
I suppose we could send
North Dakota.
I suppose we could send Anne to North Dakota just as a but no.
Split us up again? Yeah, no. I'll head right there.
Yeah, wherever it is that Peter and Marco were flying to.
So that's
flying to Bozeman or something. I think
flying into Missoula. So it's that is on the, I believe, the Montana side of the border.
Missoula is Montana.
But it's very close to the crash site location in Idaho.
And a beautiful town. Yeah. So fly to Missoula. Meet up with the others. Yep.
You can all be there. We can fast forward to.
Gonna do a montage.
Afternoon.
Agent Shovosky is bringing a flamethrower. If you would like to pick up one for yourself.
He's bringing it on the plane.
I have no idea what he's doing.
No. He has arranged for it to be delivered to Missoula.
Oh my
gosh. No. Think ahead.
Okay, so you guys can all meet up in Missoula around, let's say, late afternoon on October the 5th.
So we're all going there now?
I believe we have Anne, Marco, Peter, and Carlos. Back in Seattle, Roberta, Michael, and Lester. What are you doing?
We were currently trying to track down and find a pattern with, wasn't that moving northeasterly or something like that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And I think it was really Miss Crane and Detective Green that were kind of driving that. So I'll just be
probably sitting not Miss Crane, because she was just coming back from D.C.
No, Detective Green.
Oh, the other Kane.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Crane.
Oh,
said
no,
Kane.
No. Yeah, sorry, Kane. You said Kane. Yes, Gary and Steve were driving that research. So Michael will just be relaxing, waiting for them to figure out some direction.
Cleaning his guns, I'm sure.
Yeah,
really are eight.
Okay. Nothing really for you to do yet. So let's head over to Team Missoula.
Oh, by the way, just quick question. Jonathan, I hope you don't mind me giving Sean a few tips in terms of using the...
I mean, in game, Crane and Crane knows how to sort of securely browse the deep web. So we can assume her character has that knowledge. Not a problem. The question is going to be whether she can find anything useful, which is it's one thing to be in government databases, another thing to be on the lunatic fringes of the dark web. But
bigger question is, how does Gary know all these things about getting on the dark web and getting information? I mean, that's a question we really should be asking here.
Well,
the dark web is great. We should all try it sometime.
I did actually used to work with some very sick organizations.
I mean, he says he's spending all this time in the hospital, but what do we really know about what Gary is doing up to?
I did actually do some work for ASIO and ASIS at one stage.
I've seen some of those TV series.
Yeah, MI5 and MI6, basically, the Australian version. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys in Missoula can.
I pick them up at the airport, I guess, and start driving to this national park is.
Yep.
And hopefully get caught up on what's been going on. The car is riding a little low with all the stuff in the trunk. and I guess there's just the four of us. It's a nice sedan, so it's fine. I have arranged for a national park helicopter to take me someplace into the actual crash site.
Yeah.
And it's a large enough helicopter that we can take our crates of stuff.
Sure.
Otherwise, I'm driving. So
yeah,
you tell me no on that.
Problem. No, not a problem. You you probably drive for 3 hours or so, cross the border into Idaho, and you have prearranged basically a meeting with the Forestry Service. Who they received a call from someone you know, and they're waiting in a clearing for you with a forestry search and rescue helicopter.
Excellent. So start unloading duffel bags and crates from the back of the car, and
where
we're headed.
One of The pilot actually will come over and Carlos.
Yep, that's me.
Reaches out to shake your hand. It's an interesting favor. You're heading out to the crash site.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of forensic equipment. We've got to get out there so we can see if we can figure out why the plane went down. Have you heard anything going on in the park? Have you gotten any reports of any unusual activity, people who've been poking around or anything?
Not around the crash site. There's you're specifically asking
what
about
does that mean?
People. Sorry, Randall?
Well, I started by asking about anything unusual. So if he sort of has a reaction to that, I'll definitely push on that. And then I went into people.
Yeah, he will actually mention that they have been recently. They've been busy because they have been engaged in an active search and rescue for a couple of hikers in a bit to the east, towards the hot springs.
Oh, that's interesting. How far from the crash site, roughly? Miles? Tens of miles?
Yeah, that was... Sorry, making me measure distance. How does this work? He will tell you it's about 40 kilometers east of the crash site.
Okay, that seems doable. And these are some hikers that went missing in the last couple of days?
Yes, yeah. They were supposed to... They had gone out into Lolo National Forest, they were due to meet up with some other family members in Lolo itself. Yesterday, they did not arrive.
I would be immediately suspicious of a U.S. park ranger giving distances in kilometers.
Oh, I am absolutely suspicious of that.
25 miles.
Obviously a foreign spy. And I'll pretend I'm a little nervous. Any talk of bear attacks going on?
It wouldn't be unheard of in this area, unfortunately.
But nothing recently? Called in?
No, they don't. Not in this area, at least.
Great.
You know, how many days since the plane crashed?
Plane crash was on the 2nd. It is now the 5th.
So 3 days, and we got some missing hikers 2 days ago. So
one day ago was the report, yeah.
Okay. So maybe the spider we're going to face has good size by now. Okay.
Yeah. Nervous look on the face when they mentioned the, you know, missing hikers.
Hikers, yeah.
I turn to the to these guys, like, you know, you don't have to head into this hunt if you don't want to.
Oh no.
I mean, you know what you're getting into?
I think probably better than you at the moment. Watch out for
all right. Death.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
ooh.
I'll let you lead, but just be careful.
All right, well, let's go.
So
can't waste time. Yeah, Apparently, we're in a hurry.
You get on to the to the helicopter. They fly you sort of due south of where you'd stopped on the road, and you can. They will circle around the crash site for you to take a look at it. You can quite clearly see the remnants of the. Small plane.
Okay. Quick question. And sorry if you know someone asked this before. How many people in this plane?
There were just two pilots, Captain Ivan Sabo and Captain Michelle Grant.
Okay. Have the rescue party
experienced pilots?
Of the rescue party, did they find the bodies?
They did not, no. So
is there okay.
Four bodies.
Human remains obviously were expected. The initial search and rescue team that made it out here found the ruined, punched open remains of the unknown biological substance 1 case nearby. Mm-hmm. There was blood, in the wreckage, but no human remains. And then at this, the program convinced them to pull out and leave the investigation to the specialists.
Okay. You. What? So from above, like as we're circling the site, do we see any easily spotted tracks, you know, opening on the woods? Because this...
that's what I was looking for too. Yeah, and not easily spotted, but ones that are hard to spot, perhaps.
Yeah.
No. It has the plane. I posted a picture of the plane in better days. Collided. It's knocked over a number of fires broke out towards some section of the plane, possibly where the fuel tanks were. But the plane has it's clearly hit the canopy of trees and then sort of disintegrated, and you can see various pieces of the aircraft flung around the site. There's a main crater where the sort of cockpit and forward section of the plane is. They cannot land the helicopter here, and we'll have to land the helicopter. There's sort of a clearing, maybe half a mile away. They can land, and then you would have to proceed on foot.
That's fine. But there's no, I guess, yeah. So in terms of things that might have happened since then, there's we don't see sort of a area that's been like a game trail, basically. Leading away from to the crash site.
Not really. Okay. And it has been a number of days since the crash.
Right. Yeah.
All right. We in this helicopter too, right? We've all been put together.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
I'm gonna ask the ranger. If he knows Michael Yulee.
Do you mean Lieutenant Daniel Yulee?
Okay. Yes. Whoever's the body pieces seem to be based out of. The leftover parts.
No, should I?
No, not necessarily, just interested.
Shakes his head. Why? Was he on the plane?
No, not at all. But just asking. So it's a lead we had. We just wondered if he might, be somebody who had been in this area before.
Blank looks all around.
Great.
All right. Yeah, push down.
Okay, so
be careful with the crates there. This is done with equipment.
So when we get down, I will ask the pilot to kind of trace on the map the last known place where the hikers were reported, on the map, so we can trace a line from the crash site to where they were missing.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
proposed
route that they should have been taking.
Give me some amount of seconds and I will do that for you.
Thank you. And also, I will ask him to highlight the areas where search has been done already, with no results, so we can rule out those areas in our search.
Okay. So They will provide you with a map that looks something like... Goodness, how does this work?
Probably in kilometers.
Oh, goodness. Sorry. I'm completely failing to use this paint program to draw a circle. Surely that is not that hard. Because I've selected rectangle, that's why.
Nothing wrong with kilometers.
Right, I'm going to paste into the notes, and the circle is the region they have been searching in based on the information from the relatives.
There it is. Oh, wonderful. Perfect. So they've been searching out from the highway, and the hikers were presumably going to come out to the highway and hitchhike into Lolo or something. And they didn't show up.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Can you, where did we land?
See, look at that. That near the crash site, I assume.
You landed in Missoula. Yeah.
Oh, you mean...
I mean, where's the helicopter land relative to the circle?
The helicopter has landed just outside of the crash site location.
Oh, okay. I thought we couldn't be too close. Okay, great.
I mean, on the scale of the map, just outside.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're about, you know, half a mile out.
Great.
Yes, so you can relatively easily trek out site.
So these guys have left and we've set up a
they will do whatever you want. Yeah, if they're happy to wait at the landing site until you've finished doing your forensics.
Is the landing site not you can't see the you said it's about half a mile, right?
No, because it's a half a mile trek through forest.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
They would not have direct line of sight. You if you want to tell them, I'll head back to.
Well, I'm thinking we tell them to wait for an hour or so, make sure there's something useful for us to do, and if there is, we'll send them on their way, and if there's not, then we'll just get back in the chopper and head out.
Sure. They'll give you a radio on their frequency.
Okay.
Yeah. Hour or two. We'll get updated an hour on the walkie.
Right. They can have lunch and
I mean if there is an emergency, they may be called away, but
sure. But we're likely to be the emergency. They just don't know that.
They'll be close.
Exactly.
So you can relatively easily find the remains of the plane.
All right, well, I will find a good defensive site and set up for that while these science people do their thing.
Okay.
Yay, science.
So what is Team Science doing?
So I guess what's the state of the wreck? I mean, is it a complete crash or is the most of the plane still intact? I guess we want to, if it was only the pilots, I'd try and investigate the cockpit.
Yeah, so what you know is that the plane, The manifest for the plane was just the two pilots and this CDC material. So there's no one else on board.
No one else listed.
And one of them ate the other, but we're not going to say which way it went.
There is the official report is that they lost contact with air traffic control sometime when they were heading over this forest, and shortly after that, a search and rescue was dispatched, and they found the smoke. The plane is in several pieces, so you can identify like the majority of the cockpit and the forward section, but it looks like as it was coming down, it hit the canopy of the trees, and that that's ripped the wings off, and there's bits of those are scattered about. It obviously hit the ground. The main fuselage broke at the back, and then there has been fuel leak and fire.
So what's interesting sort of is how did this creature manage to eat the pilot before? I mean, the assumption would be that the crash is what broke open the case, and that's why things went bad. But that happened. But it must have somehow broken it open in flight
before
the crash. So it seems like that's something that needs to be figured out.
Yeah, because what seems to be the most, I would think, logical explanation is that one of the pilots was infected, chest bursted, and that thing attacked the other pilot who was flying the plane.
Yeah, and then when the thing crashed, the CDC box got broken open.
Right.
But maybe the CDC box just got broken open by the thing. Like maybe the thing just broke out of the containment.
Right.
And attack. Oh, and then in fact, yeah. Right. Well, so, I think you guys can figure out.
Yeah, I guess so. Is the box that the sample was in still there?
Yes, and you can actually find it. So when you get a bit closer, you actually find like a tarpaulin has been placed over something and sort of nailed down into the ground with some tent pegs, basically. And when you pull that up, you find this case, this metal case. It's a standard sort of like a big chunky briefcase style,
like a sample transport briefcase.
Exactly. Made of aluminium, and it has this hole. Just looks like something has exploded from inside out.
Oh, well, perfect. I was going to see if it looked like it had broken out from the inside, but
absolutely,
that seems to be confirmed. As we know, this thing burns through basically anything. Okay. I guess I want to do some, searching, observing.
Sure.
To see if I could find any remnants or trail or some sort of evidence of like the pilots, more than just a little blood.
Yeah.
Trail
is the most important.
Mm-hmm. I
want to see if there was evidence of any other passengers on the plane that were not listed.
You find the cockpit. You enter that, and it's not just some blood. It is a lot of blood. There is blood splattered over every surface. There's a film of it over the cockpit windows. There's it's all over the instruments. It's soaked into the seats.
Well, that's much better.
But there are
what?
and you can make sanity rolls.
But hold on, Jonathan.
You can still make sanity.
Yeah, I will do that now.
And then I'll hold on.
So that's a 96.
What is 96 is not so hot?
Just 1 point. It's just blood, but it is a lot of blood.
If okay. You pass or fail?
If you fail.
Okay.
Nothing if you pass.
How bad does the cabin look from the crash? Like, is it completely destroyed? Because you're saying we're finding this on the in the front, right? All over
in the cockpit.
In the cup.
So it's kind of hard for you to distinguish the damage done by the crash. Obviously, like in some places the cockpit is cracked. There do seem to be signs of potentially some kind of struggle in the cockpit.
That's what I was wondering, correct? Okay, so whatever was there probably attacked them is what caused the crash. And this blood was still when they were on the air. Maybe it destroyed the bodies or destroyed the pilots, but it was still flying.
Let's see if I'm going to try and find the black box.
Yes, you can find the black box, and you presumably don't have the right equipment to access it.
I mean, one could argue that if we were going to the plane crash site, that we would make sure that we have
equipment.
I'm happy to say you've arranged for that, and you can connect up to it. And what you, let's see, so you know from the initial report, Boot Montana Air Control loses contact with Flight 191 after a moment of garbled radio. There is no report of malfunction. I'll say you get a bit more, because they obviously weren't transmitting at the time, but I know nothing about black boxes, but we can assume it's recording everything. You hear so you sort of fast forward to the time of the event. It's fairly standard chatter up to that point, and then you pretty much hear something that goes like, "What the fuck?"
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sort of a couple of minutes of screaming and absolutely for the next 5 minutes, actually. Well, no, what you hear then is the sort of sound of sirens. So there's like the beep 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 beep, maybe a minute or so later there is just the sound of a crash and an explosion, and then the recording actually continues for another. The recording will probably continue for a couple of hours, actually, until the battery in here dies. But for the next sort of 10 to 12 minutes, you hear just sounds of like
chewing,
crunching, and very hard to describe. It's sounds sort of biological, but it doesn't sound like an animal eating or anything like that. But it's just you at various stages you hear what you think of bones cracking or sound of like chunks of wet meat being slapped around.
I feel like that's more of a sanity check than blood everywhere.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Max.
Hey, I'm a giver.
Well, the other one was a failure.
Probably a fail. 86, yep.
Probably.
let's have a D3 for failure and a 1 for a success.
That's 2. Apparently, I was listening to this part. I'm
3.
Weak. 1 for me.
Yeah. Don't forget to keep track of your incidents of sand loss without going insane, because you potentially have a chance to.
This isn't violence or helplessness, right? Or
is it I guess this is unnatural. Yeah, so this is not necessarily something you can. But the blood would have been violence. For the purposes of expediency, I'll say you're not really going to find anything else particularly interesting at this site.
Period.
Correct.
So like tracking, like finding track, doing a tracking or something like that is a waste of time, is what you're saying?
So you can absolutely try and look for tracks and trails, but it's just, yeah, maybe if you were here a couple of days ago you might have had more chance, but there's signs of animal activity in the region, but yeah, it's just too hard to pick up a trail from here.
Dang.
All right, well, let's get out of here.
Oh,
I mean, if there's nothing to do, we may as well leave, right?
Well, we can try to ask the pilot to take us to where the hikers went missing, so we can start doing our search.
But we could, I mean, it's a little weird, but we could certainly, maybe a way to phrase it is that we could offer to help them with their since we're in the area and we're trained, we could offer to help them with their missing person search. I mean, right now we're saying that we're here, forensics on the plane. Be weird for us to suddenly like, oh well, this forensic thing means we have to go hunt down some missing people. Like, that'd be a little weird. But I'm happy to help them. Like, if we've done our job, maybe we're just here to collect the black box and do something real quick, and then we can join them and on the missing person search, I guess.
Yeah, maybe they could drop us off where the hikers were supposed to be, and then
where we'd be useful.
So if you can radio back and head back to the helicopter. They at this point, I mean, they're happy to drop you. Obviously, your car is back where you left it. So do you want to go back for that, or they're happy to drop one of you back at the car and take some of you somewhere else? They could take you east to Lolo or potentially even Missoula if.
Well, but what would be useful to them if we're asking about helping out with the missing hikers?
If you're asking to volunteer with that, they will sign you up to the.
Have they done a search by helicopter?
Yes. Yeah, so there have been helicopters up in the air all day. They have organized some volunteers from nearby, and there are people out sort of trying to sweep the area on foot. It's a large area to cover.
Yeah. Well, whatever they think is useful. I mean, I'm happy to go back and get the car and meet people on the highway if we're going
to
stay out here.
Yeah, let's go back to the car, and then we can search from the highway, whatever is useful. But that way we can get our equipment loaded back up again.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to actually join the search, or just your goal is to sort of head east a bit and what?
Well, apparently we think there's some creature running around the woods, and so we would be looking for it, and we haven't found any sight at the crash site, and there's missing hikers, so I think it's, yeah, look for the hikers, look for the creature, and just, I mean, I don't know. We got nothing else to do. Our whole goal is to find the monster and contain it, whatever it is. So.
So yeah, they will take you out to near Lolo, and there are groups of volunteers all around that area, and if you want to just join the search, they can drop you off with one of those groups. It will be getting late and getting dark, and at this time, probably the volunteers that are out will all be coming back in. They're obviously not going to search during the night and the evening.
Well, actually, that's a very good moment to gather with the search party and, you know, hear what they have to say. Maybe we hear something that doesn't make sense to them, but makes sense to us. Like, oh, we found some, you know, a lot of blood. Looks like there's a wild animal, you know, killing rabbits or whatever, you know?
Okay. So the search and rescue teams have mainly been going in you know, small groups along the hiking trails in the area. And what they know is that the group of hikers, it was a young couple who set out, were going to hike up to one of the nearby peaks, one of the nearby mountains. They had all their own camping gear, and were prepared to spend a couple of, you know, 3 or 4 days out here. So they had supplies. They were experienced hikers and outdoorsy people.
Okay.
Ooh, here's a theory. Since we have government database access, maybe we could track their cell phones. If we could look up their names and find their cell phone carrier plan, track their cell phones, maybe we could find a location of where the cell phones are. I mean, I know normally normal search and rescue wouldn't be able to do that without breaking a lot of laws, but we like breaking laws within the bounds of our
power.
So maybe we could do that.
Sounds like you have someone who could give that a go. Give me a computer science roll.
Yeah. I can. Oh, okay.
There's no, another go ahead. One.
Okay.
No.
You go ahead. No, let me roll. I got 50, Shen. How much do you have?
73,
74. Okay. You try.
I did, and I passed.
Yes. Okay. So you, with the information that you have, and you know, you have mobile numbers and things like that, you are able to find, you know, sort of activate the Find My Phone feature effectively, and it is saying that it's telling you that the phone is active. It's on very close to one of the, sorry, I don't actually know the, I don't know whether any of these maps that I'm looking at are actual locations that people go to, but it shows you, yeah, you have GPS coordinates for somewhere a bit off from one of the trails.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, yeah, the phone has 15% battery, but it has not moved for the last day and a half.
Oh, that's perfect. That's where they are. Or where the phone is.
Yeah, we could go there right now. I mean, it's dark, but I mean,
let's do it.
We have flashlights.
We're
flamethrowers. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so
how off the road is it?
Yeah.
Let's see. It is.
How close to the road? Yeah. How close can we get by road? I guess is the question.
By road, you can get. I was about to do it again. 15 kilometers. Let's say it's 10 miles.
That's not bad.
Well, at night though, that might be.
So you can get there. You can get there while it's not going to be pitch black, but yeah, the sun will be setting by the time you get there.
Well, that's fine. Afghanistan in the war at night. I'm not worried about climbing, going through a few miles of woods.
Yeah, well, you're with some relative newbies to these sort of things, but well, I'm game. Let's go.
Okay, so you're heading out to these GPS coordinates. Back over in Seattle, pretty much nothing has happened all day. There's obviously, you know, missing persons reports and things like that, but there's no, none of the reports that you're getting are sufficiently strange to pick them out from the all the noise of the stuff that's going on. But it'll be getting dark over in Seattle, and it's getting dark back over in Idaho. So we'll switch back to Idaho. You spend a couple of hours hiking out to the GPS location. You have torches. You come upon a scene that's going to require a sanity roll.
Excellent. That's a fail.
Pass.
as what you find are the blood-soaked camping, you know, backpacks, and there's traces of clothes. And actually here there will be fragments of of body parts. So it looks like something came upon these hikers and tore them to pieces while consuming them. You find like a leg and an arm here or there. Odd bits of bone here and there, but it does look like they have mostly been consumed.
Bears.
And so that will be
have to report.
1d3 if you fail, and 1 if you pass.
This is violence.
Yes.
So, let's look for tracks of whatever this creature is that we're trying to, like, blood track stuff, run around.
Yes, you can identify tracks in and around this area. So it looks like they had left the main hiking trail. If it was during the day, you look around, you realize it would actually be a rather nice scenic place to maybe stop and have a picnic or take in the view.
So when you say they left the hiking trail, do you mean the hikers or the thing that we actually are interested
in?
Yes,
the hikers, yeah.
The hikers, okay.
Right, but you're looking for a trail for the thing, right?
Exactly.
I don't care about the hikers,
Right, but they intentionally had left the trail to camp, and that's where they were attacked.
Right, they came here and then they got eaten.
Make a... Is track even a skill in Delta Green? I don't think it is.
It's so not. I've been wondering. I didn't know what tracking was supposed to be.
I think let's do a search roll. I'll accept a search roll, or maybe... I think there's like military science land, if you have something like that.
Oh yeah, that one's good. Yeah.
Well, I got a 31 out of 60 on a search.
22. Okay, that's a critical success. 22 on military science land.
So looking around, there are. I mean, there's clear tracks from the campers. You see boot prints, obviously look like fairly sturdy hiking boots. You actually find a number of the hiking boots with ankles and lower legs still inside them, scattered around. But amongst all of that, you can clearly identify human-like foot and hand prints. These look, you remember back to the weird misshapen thumbs and fingerprints that you saw in Greaves's home originally, and thinking about the incident that Michael told you about with the death spider that seemingly had weird misshapen human-like thumbs and fingers on it. This, you can clearly see what looks like a normal naked human footprint, except for the fact that some of the toes are actually fingers.
Oh God.
And I mean, it's very hard to figure out what happened here, because there's just this massive activity, and this thing, whatever it was clearly writhing around and imprinting a lot into the mud. It's very hard here to sort of tell whether this thing has two limbs or 20. But you do identify a trail sort of leading to the area and leading away, and the one leading away is heading east.
Yeah, let's follow it.
Yep.
Question.
So it's all, only us, or we got more people with us?
It's just us. Do we think that this is something that could conceivably be, if we doctored a little bit, written off as bear, or do we have to bury this whole thing and just let these hikers be missing, never found? Based on looking at the scene.
I'll let you discuss that with your colleagues.
Well, no, I'm asking you because you're the keeper and you know what the scene looks like. And I'm making, we can make a roll to figure that out, I guess. But
I mean, you could make a... Natural world isn't a thing either, is it?
I can roll forensics.
Roll, absolutely. That would be perfect.
Okay. Check. Yep, that's a success. If necessary, I can make it a hard success. But
No. You think here at this scene.
Double hard
success. Yeah. Here at this scene. With the bizarre human fingerprints, there will be questions asked. There's no sort of discernible teeth marks or claw marks in the remaining bits of body. So that really doesn't tally with an animal attack. You think presenting this scene to the authorities will definitely raise unwanted questions?
Okay.
Well, so then I think,
how do we want to get rid of
this? We want to sweep, clean this the campsite.
Think so.
Make it look like no one was ever here. They just disappeared.
Yep.
Let's do that then.
Okay. You can do that. It will take some time, but what are you actually going to do with the remaining body parts? You reckon you could quite easily bury them. Nearby.
Right. Oh, bury them? Yeah.
The remaining, like you can take the mobile phones, remove the SIM cards.
Before doing that, I will actually go ahead and see if they recorded something like a video, they were hiking, they saw something there. Oh, I'm seeing something. Is that an animal? And they started recording a video and then surprise, yeah.
No.
So exciting.
Okay, so I think by the time you've cleaned up this scene, it's gonna be getting on to 9 PM or so. It's now going to be quite dark. Following the tracks of this thing is going to be difficult, but not impossible. But that's your plan to just.
Well, that's what we're here. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Make an idea roll.
That's probably a fail. Idea. That's intelligence, or do we have a separate idea somewhere?
Just intelligence, yeah.
Fail.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely a fail.
Did Peter make it?
That's a success for me.
So they're talking about following this thing on foot. It has at least a day's head start on you. It's hard to say whether it has two limbs or four limbs. At some point, it almost looks like it's kind of like galloping along the ground like a bear or something.
I imagine it has 16 limbs and it's just rolling like a ball.
Mm-hmm.
At least the tracks are clear and defined. So.
Yeah.
I mean, we might. How dense are the woods? Is this? I mean, this is West Coast stuff. It's possible that one could move around with an ATV or something.
Right.
So the trouble about the countryside that you're in at the moment is it's quite mountainous. It's lots of hills and valleys and peaks.
Then I guess we'll copy it, follow it on foot.
Okay. So with
now
your...
the other option is to kind of make some sense of where the tracks are going. And maybe try to intercept with a helicopter so we can save some time.
Both. Yeah, I mean, if it's intelligent and it's going straight somewhere, we have no idea if this is just a random wandering thing or if it's
right
headed somewhere, right? So we could do both. We could send some people ahead to try to track backwards, and some of us could continue on foot, but... guessing where something's going is a little sketchy.
Yep. So yeah. Thinking, I mean, the thing that just enters the back of your mind, Peter, is Yuli. And then you think about Yuli's family in Billings.
Is that heading, seem like it's heading straight to Billings?
It's at least heading in the same general direction. If it wanted to go there, it would have to go east.
It's heading towards...
Gee, it's headed to New York City also.
Well, but maybe it has some sort of imprint of whatever its form it's assumed.
Yeah, well, I do like them. They're nice. It would have to be the sun. Because presumably there's no genetic imprint on the wife. But other than the fact that he doesn't wash his dishes, the son's a good kid.
Okay. So maybe, this. Why don't we cut the rain and, since this is a couple of days ahead of us, why don't we grab the helicopter and get there and
head
actually...
Billings, yeah.
Yes, and from there, start kind of backtracking into the woods again.
And then
intersect the two tracks? Can we intersect the track from Seattle and the track from here and see if they're both headed to Billings?
So, talking of Seattle, getting on for... basically, once the sun set, or maybe a bit after, around 10 o'clock or so, Roberta and Lester, you pick up some police chatter. And the chatter is that... The torn apart remnants of a woman have been found on a road basically heading out of Snohomish.
In which direction?
sorry, not Snohomish, heading out of Mill Creek, but to the east of Mill Creek.
Okay. The genetic material that we found of the person in the creature, you know how we found that the genetic material matched a particular person? Was that Billings?
That was Yuli, yes.
Yuli, yes.
Whose family lives in Billings, yes.
He lives in Billings. Is that in that general direction?
I mean, Billings, Montana, is east of Seattle, so yes.
Okay. So could technically be heading out in that direction. Because if it does have, everything we've found has had that genetic material. So I'll look to the other two, go. So it's heading out east. That is a long shot, but it could be heading for Billings.
Because that's a long ways from here.
But that's where the guy who the genetic material's from.
The police chatter that's coming in is that Cathcart Way heading or this particular street, it's this road, and at the edge of the highway, basically the road, the dumped remains just sort of left out in the open. It was called in by a motorist who was approaching, saw what looked like a figure slumped at the side of the road. When they got out, they found like the half sort of consumed, devoured body of a woman.
Okay, let's head there.
Like where did you say this was? Mill Creek.
So, it's to the east of Mill Creek. It's leaving Mill Creek.
Okay, so this is like 15, 20 minutes away.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So let's go that way.
Yep.
Okay, so you can head to the scene. There is a sort of a number of police patrol cars. The sirens go in. They're directing motorists away. They're setting up a cordon.
Okay, I will. Do we know we don't know the identity of the victim?
Not yet. No, probably on the drive out, they will have identified the woman, and that will be chatter that comes through. Okay. She is identified as where are my notes? Andrea Price, 32-year-old accountant who lives in Mill Creek. She that's what they've identified from her belongings.
Is there any information on how fresh the remains are?
The chatter that's coming in, it's very sort of garbled. There's clearly a lot of confusion on the ground. They can't quite figure out whether this is like an animal attack or some kind of gruesome murder. They clearly don't know. They're requesting forensic investigators, etc. But it does appear to be fresh. Yes.
Okay. And you said it's alongside. You said it's along the side of a highway.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Forested.
Yes.
Okay, then I think I will suggest that we get as close to the scene as we can and send Miss Kane in to talk to the police. And then I will gear up and head. So not, I will not go to the scene, right? But I'll go into the forest and try to work my way around through the forest to kind of perpendicular to the scene and see if I can pick up any trace of tracks or evidence of something of reasonable size moving through the trees or whatever.
Sure. Okay. So sort of you can pull it up on your Google Maps as you're looking at it. Basically, to the north of this road, it's sort of one of the main highways, if you can really call it that, that leads through Mill Creek. There's a number of sort of, you know, if you follow the road north, you get to various shopping centers. It goes past a high school and an elementary school, and immediately to the north of where the body was found is a forested area, sort of at the back of some schools. You're going to send in Roberta. So you can, yeah, I mean, you pull up, you see the police cordon that's being set up. There's to the south is a residential area, sort of those winding suburby streets, much like where Greaves himself lived. And there's, you know, there's a line of cars and people are getting out and looking, and there's police officers trying to direct them away from this section of road. A police officer will approach you, Roberta, and say, "Sorry, please stay back. This is an active investigation."
Yes, CDC, but I'm also a forensic specialist.
Oh, you flash your badge.
I'll show my badge.
Oh, okay. This is a bit of a weird one. And he'll introduce himself, Officer Lardy Blah. We found the remains of this young woman just dumped at the side of the road, and I mean, we can't make heads nor tails of this, but take a look at this, and they'll lead you up towards. They've got just a little sort of cordon set up, a couple of temporary screens, and could you make a sanity roll?
Yes, I can. Oh, wow, I get to make a roll. 62. I think that actually might be a fail.
Fail. Your sanity in the notes is listed as 67, but I don't know where that's up to.
That's
up to that. Yeah, I always keep that up to date. So, pass. Okay, yeah. So it's still 2 points to see. This woman is missing. A significant portion of her upper torso. There's just sort of the entire left rib cage is just missing. It doesn't look like any sort of animal wound or anything like that you could think of.
Okay, does it look like it's been used tools? Like
no, it's not clean. It's almost like someone's come along with some kind of scoop and scooped out bits of the body, and there's just signs of quite deep trauma around the wound. They say, as far as we could tell, we've made contact with the poor woman's husband. He says she was just out, had gone out to the shops, had gone to the supermarket to the north of Mill Creek and was heading back this way to drop off the groceries at home. But I mean, her car is missing.
Look around crazy. The car. Okay, so something's taken the car. Can I get some lights on the road around here?
There are actually street lights.
Okay, I'll have a basically look around the body. Is there anything actually by the side of the body, not just on the body, but by the side of the body? Any markings like scratching or clawing or anything digging into the road or dirt?
Make a search roll.
Okay. 27 is I've got a 60, so that's a success.
You see the signs of what look like sort of bare footprints that come out of the tree line to the north, up to the side of the road. You kind of sort of lose track of them after that as it comes onto the main roadway. But there's what look like bare footprints in the sort of dirt to the north.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting for one of the guys with the camera.
Yeah. You point that out, and they're like, oh, okay, they'll come over and take pictures of that.
Start looking around on the road. Is there skid marks from a car?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Okay. It looks like someone braked heavily as they were approaching this section of road.
Okay. Look in the direction. Does it look like it may have come off the side of the road?
No, what it looks like is a car was traveling east and performed an emergency stop, basically.
Mm-hmm. But then something's taken the car, or someone's taken the car, because the car's no longer here.
That is a plus inference.
Look around. Is there any way that they could do a U-turn?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, this is a wide road. They could have gone in any direction.
And there's no. Is there an actual build-up, like island in between the two sections of roads?
No, it's just northbound, southbound. It's not an island. It's just it's like dual carriageway roads, and there's bit in the centre for cars to turn off either way.
Cool. I just want to grab a torch from on the police guys and I will just wander through and have a look down across the white lines. Basically, I want to see if there's any sort of track mark, or car track marks that might match, as if a car has basically done a spun out.
So
in the opposite direction.
What? No, I mean, there's the only visible marks on the road that you can make out are the skid mark from the emergency stop. But you know, because it's just your typical tarmac asphalt road. There's no tracks otherwise.
No, I was thinking maybe that whoever's taken the car has basically floored and spun the wheels out to go back in the opposite direction to take it away from the town.
To go, so no, I mean, there is no indication here of which way the car that did the stop went.
I'll go, what I actually ask the police what sort of car was she driving?
They don't know, but they will follow up on that.
And I was like, follow up, get the plates, put a bolo on it right away. Someone was here and has taken the car. If the husband's at home, then someone else is in the car.
We'll get right on it. Yes. What do you think did this?
I don't know at this stage, but it's something big and dangerous.
An animal? Something took the car. What? What?
No, I think someone took the car. That wasn't an animal. I think we may have the work of a serial killer.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
The officer goes off and starts escalating things on the radio.
Yeah.
Someone is never gonna make it into Delta Green.
Okay, so I guess
is a good cover.
You can head back to Michael and Lester.
I'll give my contact number if they get a hit on the bylo.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to know. Yep, put one, I'll head back to them. Yeah. Well, whatever it was has taken the lady, and something has also taken her car. Or someone has taken her car.
So was I able to find anything?
So you wanted to head into the forested region at the north. How long are you willing to spend searching the area?
I don't know. Well, if I don't find anything, not more than 20 minutes, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you get a call from Roberta.
Okay, so I would go back and we'll head off in the direction that we think the car went.
Which direction's that?
I look over at Miss Kane.
Well, the creature's been heading out away from the city, so my assumption is that it will continue to go in that direction.
So I guess I'm a little disturbed about a presumably large death spider driving a car, but
as you should be.
That's the direction that we will go, at a higher than normal rate. Looking for cars being driven by a death spider.
So the road that you're on heads east, but then it becomes highway number 9, and you have a choice of going north towards Snohomish or south down towards Seattle. At some point, not too long over, after, you get you pick up some radio chatter. They are looking for her car. They believe that someone has stolen Miss Price's vehicle. It has the details. So it's a blue Prius, and they give the license plate number.
Well, I can't have gone far fast. The Prius.
So I'm going to, I mean, if we have to choose between towards Snohomish or towards Seattle, I'm going to go towards Snohomish.
Snohomish, yeah. Yeah, that's all.
It's going, whatever it is, it's going home.
Okay.
And I will keep, I'll basically keep tuning into the next police channels to keep an ear out.
Which is actually a good point. I think that's where I would go. If we're headed back to Snohomish, what the hell was the house? The right? Wasn't that?
What's the sorry?
Greaves and Griffin, their house?
No, Greaves, his house was in Mill Creek. To the west. It's you are leaving Mill Creek now.
Yes, because the Billingsgard was.
What was in Snohomish?
Not Billingsgard.
Snohomish was the county medical office where they had taken Greaves' remains. Okay. Sure enough, you pick up some police chatter. There is a pursuit heading east along highway number 2, heading out of Snohomish towards Monroe.
What direction?
Yep, that's where we're headed.
So, from the sounds of it, there is a sheriff's office patrol car that is pursuing this vehicle. Do you want them to intercept it, or do you want to try and pull them back?
I think I will. I'm not sure that the. Maybe the CDC could do this as well, but at least as a DEA agent, I would call in and say, please monitor, but don't intercept. We will be on scene as quickly as we can to deal with the terrible drug disease people in the car.
Okay. Make... Can I get one of you to make a bureaucracy roll?
That is a success.
Okay, absolutely. You mentioning CDC and DEA and your credentials, they will happily just have the car tail it. Anyway, it does not appear to be responding to the usual request to pull over.
Okay.
They were in the process of trying to escalate their response, but now they are waiting for you. So you can certainly follow the directions they're given.
Can we get a description of the driver? Have they gotten close enough to see?
No, it's dark and they're trailing from behind at this point.
Okay.
So you're sort of what they are attempting to do is call ahead to sort of shut off traffic onto this road.
Yep.
So that you can pursue without other vehicles. So you do head through Monroe. And
we'll try to work with them to figure out, the right place where we'll be getting close for them to set up, not only having closed off access to the road, but to set off a roadblock and
toss box.
Yeah, thank you. That's the phrase. Sure. I was looking for. Tire spikes Stingers. Across.
Okay.
The road.
Yep. Okay, so they can arrange this while you're heading out. So it's heading out along US Highway 2, outside of Monroe, gets into a bit more of a sort of open area. There's the Skykomish River to one side, and just past Pine Creek Farms and Nursery. They will set up a stinger along that bit of the road. So, you're following along. You see the car collide with the or drive over, and yeah, it does that classic just almost coming straight to a halt as the tires get shot up and garbled up. And you are not that far behind it.
I will pull up not that far behind it. Tell everyone else to tell Miss Kane to keep everyone else back. Grab the assault rifle and approach the driver's side of the car.
I'll pull my pistol out and basically step out and just make sure to keep the other people back.
Okay. Michael, can you make a sanity roll, please?
I would be happy to do so. Tweet. Oh, that's not so good.
Okay. Could
you... Yeah, that's a failure.
Lose 1d8 sanity.
I would love to lose 1d8. That's my favorite die that I have. Oh, one.
Oh, well, that's
that sucks.
Fun. What you see inside the vehicle, it's a vaguely humanoid shape, except it's wrong. There is a head, but it seems to have two faces. And one of them is looking ahead, sort of at the road, but the other one is looking out the window straight at you. It's you've pulled up the file of Lieutenant Daniel Uli.
I probably have not. No.
Okay, so you haven't seen that. Fair enough. It has three limbs coming out of its upper torso, two of which are sort of on the steering wheel. You can just about see that one of them is down at the handbrake gear stick area. But yeah, it's naked. Its torso is not what you would expect. Looking at sort of the rib cage and the chest area, it's composed of maybe like interlocking hands in some places, and it's just like this. Someone has taken a huge box of body parts and tried to randomly mush them together to approximate a human.
Fair enough.
That's what this looks like.
I assume the window is rolled up.
The window is rolled up, but it is going towards opening the door.
Okay. And kind of the moment I see this, right? I already know exactly what I'm going to be doing. I am going to fire a burst through the window. And then my intention is to fire a burst through the window, which will do whatever damage it does, mm-hmm. but most importantly, shatter the window so that I can pitch a grenade into the car.
Very nice. Okay. Make your firearms roll. I will give you a plus 20 to this.
Then that is just barely a success.
Roll some damage.
Firearms damage. That will be a 7.
Okay, very nice. Yeah, you open up on it and fire a burst of bullets that just sort of shred its weird hand ribcage to pieces. And it's now turned both faces to look at you.
Yep.
This just look of hatred and it is opening the door.
I wish I had a thermite grenade with me, but a fragmentation grenade will have to do. Going in the window.
Throw roll?
Right in its face. I do have a grenade skill.
then use that, yeah.
Oh, easily a success.
How much damage do they do? Well, they have a lethality rating.
Yes, it has a lethality of 15%, kill radius of 10 meters.
So, do you know how lethality works?
I have no clue.
Lethality. We haven't used that yet. If your agent hits with a weapon that has a lethality rating, there's a chance it simply kills the target outright. Instead of rolling normal damage, roll percentile dice against the weapon's lethality rating. Okay. If the lethality test succeeds, a human target immediately drops to zero. If the lethality test fails, add the two dice together as if they were individual D10s and apply that as hit point damage.
Okay. It succeeds.
You rolled under the 15.
Yes, I did.
The car explodes in a fireball, and this, yeah, you basically just throw the fragmentation grade directly into this thing's lap, and I take it you, what do you do? Dodge backwards? Are you sure?
Well, just like in the movies, I assume I get thrown back about 15 feet and
yes.
stand up, dust myself off, and make some witty one-liner clip.
We'll say make a dex roll.
That's gonna fail. I think that's a failure. That's a failure, right? Yeah, that's a failure.
Okay, yeah, you do fly backwards, as this monstrosity just explodes into 100 little pieces, and not that long after, the car itself, the gas tank in that goes up. Obviously whatever's in the engine also sort of explodes, and the car is just engulfed in flames and fire.
Would you like to take some damage from that?
Yeah, take a D4.
D4, you say? 2.
And then that may be a good place to leave it for today.
Okay, Carlos, so I dealt with mine. Your turn.
Excellent. I'll take care of mine here. Car exploded, and when you stopped it, I mean, that seems pretty easy.
Yeah, he was.
He had a grenade on him. Yeah,
he terrorist. Was a meth dealer. He's a meth dealer. He had chemicals, and yeah. When he stopped the car, it just all the volatile chemicals just blew up.
It was a Prius. The batteries exploded.
Oh shit! It was a Prius, wasn't it?
He might have had the grenade, actually. The drug dealer had the grenade, and he pulled the pin and then tried to throw it and didn't get it out of the car.
See, this is an easy one to explain. This is not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I just want to know how you're going to explain it, but yeah, okay.
Nice.
Well, yeah, excellent. That lethality stuff is pretty nice.
Good roll there. Good rolling.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right. That worked out well.
So far, Michael has a 2 for 2. Everyone else is lagging behind on 0. So.
Well, we're 0 for 0. We're 100% success rate.
I'm happy because I did my job. I tracked them.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you, everyone.
Indeed.
Yeah, thanks.
So we may well be able to finish this scenario up in another session. All things are possible now. So,
what were you expecting after the last session?
After the last session, I was expecting this would take another 5 weeks, but. So what might be good is if, do we know who's going to run something after this? As I said,
we can go ahead and vote on it if you want to. Cool. We have a number of things in the list at the moment, so.
Awesome.
I'll go ahead and send that out, and so we'll do that after this scenario.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then obviously, cool. Whenever we want to roll back around Delta Green, after that, we can run the next two.
Cool.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Jonathan.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Cheers, all.
Later, y'all.
Later. Bye.